welcome to your new life and our new times in what has been labeled as humanity's greatest leap in evolution. Dr. K is here to assist you with holistic tips and tools, clearings and activations for your vibrational upgrade. Dr. Allison J. K. has been working as an energy medicine practitioner for 20 years, having lived in Asia for 10 years to study subtle energy. People refer to Dr. K. as the lightning bolt due to the high voltage of the work she does on behalf of assisting you to thrive in mind, body, and spirit. That is the greatest backdrop to life on planet Earth right now.
Thank you for joining me, y'all. It's Dr. Allison Kay. Happy Valentine's Day. So what are we doing with our hearts? What are we doing with our love? No matter what, no matter what, no matter what, always choosing the love. It's the best that I have right now, and I think it's pretty darn good. The more we choose the love, the more we be the love, the more that we keep uprooting our vibration, upgrading our vibration up to a love vibration, always reattuning, always redirecting, as I've learned and taught for decades in my meditation practice and teachings with folks around the world, is that constant redirection that we do with where we're focusing. And so I know, for example, today, it's been a really interesting day. I did a little overnight trip, and for the first time ever, I proceeded to lose my phone. I was going to be doing this radio show as I drove back across the state on my phone, and now I've had to find a place where I can find Wi-Fi, and I'm on my laptop, and I'm not driving across the state, and it set my day off. It's also why you're hearing background noises, pardon the interruptions, but blah, 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 that kind of a thing. I've never had this happen. So I could be upset. I could be choosing to do all sorts of reactions or have all sorts of reactions, but I'm not. I'm choosing to just keep being here present. And the love vibration seems to, the heart's known to have 10 times, measured when I say 10 times with EKG and EEG equipment, it's known to have 10 times the electrical activity than the brain, and that's even with all of the synapses firing for all the neurons and neurological activity in the brain. The heart's still 10 times more electrically active. And what's understood in the more multidimensional metaphysical world is that implication is if chi or prana or life force is electric and magnetic, then that means that we have the 10 times more of that chi or life force coming out from in front of the heart or emanating out from the heart chakra than we do from the brain. So I know that I have spent, since returning to America after living in Asia for 10 years, a lot of time redirecting my students and audience and clients to come out of the figuring it out mind. And it's not to say that they don't do that in every other culture around the world, for sure, because my clients come from around the world, any globalized, modernized society now. But it shows up differently depending on the overall historical backdrop and cultural backdrop of where we are born and raised, because as my first book, What If There's Nothing Wrong, goes through, where we grow up definitely frames what we see as possible, what, and it's beyond our normal everyday questioning. The things that are most assumed, like our breath, even it's the most subconscious, unconscious, not consciously recognized aspects of life. Like in America, you can travel from state to state and you can see a bit of a difference in the local government's zoning laws and planning laws. So you can, but nonetheless, you still see the layouts of an urban center, and then as you go out of the urban center as well, in and all across the country, no matter the state, really has the strip malls with the various familiar corporate Home Depots, Best Buy, all of the major outlets, in any suburban area, and you know what kind of an area you're in when you start seeing those stores. So that's so unconscious that we don't even register it. Whereas in other cultures, there's different unconscious cues where, for example, when I lived in Taiwan, there were huge statues of Taoist gods, male Chinese gods on top of temples. It was a very normal thing to see. It was also quite normal to see large statues of Guanyin. So you got these Buddhist symbolisms and Taoist symbolisms of who works with the gods and goddesses of the unseen forces in the backdrop. When you're living over there in Thailand, there is a lot of the prayer altars, and in Indonesia too, there's a lot of the prayer altars where there's offerings offered of flowers. And so that's like on, I remember I was in Bali right after the earthquake, and it was, there were offerings of flowers even on the street, in the main streets throughout the island. And it was their way of offerings to the gods to help after the earthquake. So it's different what we unconsciously drive by or walk by as we're doing our daily thing. If we're busy and we're engaged in getting our tasks done, going shopping or taking our kids to soccer or whatever activity or club or driving to that appointment, we don't consciously register what's in our background. But what's in our background is the unconscious and is the subconscious, and that's what creates the overall tone. And the overall tone is another way of saying our overall vibration or our overall frequency. So I just sent out an email to my list of subscribers that has a couple of different categories of holistic tips and tools using different frequencies to help cultivate more the love vibration, the overall love vibration of the kind of love force that we're born from and come from, and then the sensual love and then the romantic love. So there's various tips and tools. Last weekend I taught a workshop somewhat differentiating as much as needed between what a frequency is and what vibration is, and then how do we go about cultivating our vibration for a vibrational upgrade, so we're the highest possible vibration, which is the love vibration. And so here we are on Valentine's Day talking about love. And when I talk about love, I feel like it's a shower head, and it, you can think of it as the crown chakra. And I work with the chakra column. I have for decades. And it's, when I was in India for my yoga teacher training, I was at the source, because yoga is who understood and came up with the chakras. They're wheels in Sanskrit translated to English, and they turn prana, or vital life force energy. There's seven main ones throughout our body. Above the head is the crown one, and that's connected to the symbol Om. Om, by the yogic sages, is understood to be the sound that started the universe. And it's the crown chakra where we connect with divinity and our higher self, which is what I teach everyone today in my yoga class, as we're in the posture for the crown chakra, and we're doing various tones of the different chakras. And so when we're connecting with that love force, it's kind of like picturing a, sorry for the background noise again, it's kind of like picturing a shower head of that love vibration from source, from where we come from. It's a little bit different once it drops down to the heart chakra. The Chinese believe that, and I believe the yogic, if you look and dig deep enough in the writings, feel free to call in. The number is right there on the screen. We'll be taking callers in just a few moments. And thank you, Doug, for your masterful help. One of the two twins who owns this wonderful radio network. You've been an absolute treasure right from the beginning and fun to work with. So the showerhead of the divinity, source of love, the sacred love, the all love, motherly love, fatherly love, love that creates, love at our source, at all of ourselves. What would keep our system together in a way that would have our system giving us health and well-being if it weren't love? My understanding is that it's a love force at the base of all life, and it's what holds everything together. And I'm not the only one to say that. And so when we drop down to the heart chakra at the chest, It's more an emanation. And so as I was saying, the yogic and the Taoist cultures for two to begin with, the ancient Chinese or the Taoist, in case you don't know that reference, believe that the spirit resides at the heart chakra or lands, kind of, we could say, in the body at the heart chakra. And I can see once I've been working with a client for long enough and they've had enough clearing of the dense vibrations, the more mind-created ego level, personality level, vibrations where it's doubt and it's fear and it's frustration and it's anger and it's resentment and it's blame and it's not believing worthiness or not feeling receptive, open to life, closed down, protection. When it's not, once those vibrations are not feeling wanted and all of the different aspects that get locked in as unconscious beliefs that close our systems down at the various chakras that the beliefs correspond to, when they've had enough of that cleared, their heart chakra starts to really be able to emanate. So it seems like with every single client who I work with in one-on-one sessions, and even the ones on my Tuesday night group call, after a certain amount of density or lower vibrations of those kinds of beliefs corresponding to what I just said, for an example of a list of possible ones, but there's more than that. That was not an exhaustive list, as we all know. Their heart chakra is able to start to emanate out their presence more. It seems like the spirit lands more in the body once the mind is kind of called in check, once the subconscious and unconscious beliefs that cover up other chakras below and above the heart chakra, as well as the heart chakra itself, once it's able to start to be more open and receptive to life, then the heart chakra is able to emanate out. And that emanation, I believe, comes very much from the spirit being more landed in the body. And now this corresponds down to the root chakra, and that's a different kind of love, but let me just finish that thought there. The root chakra is about being grounded in the body, and if we feel like we don't have the right to be here, or we were born into a situation that wasn't supportive, was a little bit chaotic, or was mom or was dad doubting that they were going to be able to support the child, or there was neglect or abandonment, then there is a tendency to not land in the root chakra. I did a lot of work this week with a lot of clients in particular on this topic, really helping in the last 2 weeks, in fact, really helping people to land in their bodies, getting over trauma from past lives where whatever happened was so traumatic, whether it was like a killing at a guillotine or it was getting a head chopped off or it was getting a sword thrown in their back or whatever. And it's not that I work at that level, but if I'm helping somebody raise their vibration and clear out what keeps them lower and shut down and not open to life, then a lot of the times past life traumas come up too. So in clearing out the traumas that have happened before that would keep a spirit at the cellular memory level hesitant from fully landing in their body because they've been hurt here when they've been in a body before, clearing those out allow our spirit to land even more all the way down to the root chakra, which puts somebody's spirit grounded down into their tailbone. Really now the life force is flowing down throughout the legs and the feet. And so the chi is flowing, there's not blockage, and there's a lot more presence throughout the overall body of the person's emanation, not just from the heart, but now they're landed all the way down into their body. So their overall field that surrounds our physical body is more activated with life force and with juice. And so they're that much stronger of an emanation. So they're that much more able to catalyze life to work in support. So it's cyclical and it's a self-enhancing cycle. So if we're locked into the mind and its doubt and its fears and its frustrations and it's closed down somewhat and distrust somewhat and non-receptivity, then we're going to find more of what we get. And it's really an interesting process that we've been given divine sense of humor, it seems like. So the more higher our vibration is, the more the love is allowed to flow in our field down from the shower head to the crown chakra tends to be of light. And in my upcoming book, which should be released next month, Vibrational Upgrade, I talk about this as far as the showering down of light. And if light is what is in chi or prana or life force, isn't it also love? So with what I just said at the opening of the show, the showering down of the divine connection and the connection to our higher self from the crown chakra, and then it landed more down at the heart chakra and able to emanate out and then grounded all the way down to the root chakra, a person is a much more powerful or potent force for moving more energy in their favor. So they see more, we see more synchronicities. We see more ease with catalyzing events corresponding together that help us attain what it is that we're desiring. Our desires seem to get met by what comes into our lives at a more rapid rate and with more ease. There isn't the kind of mental or cerebral figuring it out that goes on when you're mind dominant or when you've learned, as everybody has until they unlearn it, to come from the intellectual mind. And so the lists happen, the making stuff happen occur, the tasks, the to-do lists occur. But when we're this opened, awakened being in our bodies, populating our bodies as the eternal being that we are, and our life force is emanating out, then we're in an entirely different existence right next to somebody who's very cerebral and mental and their field is closed down. So it's just absolutely phenomenal to look at the difference between an awakened presence or an awakened being who's embodied and how much more ease and grace they have. They're typically, and I'm one of these people who said this too, how do things happen so easily for you? And it seems like, you know, they have this certain charm or they have this way of things just working out easily for them. My life hasn't always been like that. I have been working like this on my vibration and learning since I was a little girl, for sure. But I came in as this high vibration. I have memories of me tromping through the woods with my older brother when I was in grade school every day after school and really staying connected and connecting to nature and retaining that connection. So I was always emanating out and connecting in that way. But there were times in my teens and in my 20s when I was still very much in my personality or in my conditioning. And so it's been a process of unlearning them. I started meditating when I was 23. So it's a gradual process, and nowadays everything's happening quicker. So the progress, even for clients of mine under my hands that happened 10 years ago or 15 years ago or 20 years ago, it's like decreased by, I would say, at least a third, if not a half of the time for the results. And the results are more impactful. So yes, some of that's me changing my vibration, getting higher so I can catalyze more life force or prana or chi. But it's also the nature of the times we're living in. It's like the energies of the times we're living in are knocking over our shoulders or at our back door, asking us to wake up to the love vibration and asking us to wake up to what is beyond our mind and the personality and this reality's paradigm that it construes through the advertising, through the commercialism, and even beyond the old religious framing of the way to access God or divinity or spirit, that it's a more awakened, alive presence all around us now, instead of just being accessed on Sundays or at temple or through prayer. But learning how to marry the mundane with the sacred is what we're doing now on the planet. And this is touted as humanity's biggest evolutionary leap. It's humanity's spiritual awakening. Another way that various colleagues and cultures refer to the times we're in right now is the return of the feminine consciousness. It doesn't mean that feminism at all. It doesn't imply anything about feminism as much as more the rebalancing after centuries in the West in particular, but also the East spent in patriarchal and force and aggression. Instead, it's turning now into like the masculine is learning how to be what I see many males already doing, that grounded, supportive presence that doesn't have to force or push or show dominance or control in order to feel its strength. And so also allowing ourselves, both male and females, to connect with our feminine more, which means the receptive aspects of our actioning. So it's not just the actions that we take, the list that we action and we cross it off, but it's also the work that I just was talking about, where it's inside of us, where we're aligning ourselves and raising our vibration and holding a dream or a vision, and we're feeding it with life force. And we're then holding the energy for that vision. We're feeding it with more energy, and we're allowing it to be seeded. Like in a womb, a baby gets seeded. We're allowing it to seed and take form. So that's the yin, that's the feminine. And there's a balance of the masculine and the feminine in all acts of life. Yeah? So we're in an incredible time right now for creating what it is we desire. And it's with more ease now. And so when I could have stayed
And I still could get stayed in the mind of the worrying about, oh man, I'm going to have so much to do to replace my phone. But that's, I'm a powerful creator. So that's going to be setting me up with a closed down, contracted energy field because I'm in worry, which just think about the worry you have, how much it closes down the feeling of wide openness to life around your head. Look at that tunnel it creates. It's almost clamped into a tunnel. So you go into a tunnel of worry. It doesn't allow your energy around your head, your hopefulness, your emanation of love, of life, of the bigness. It doesn't allow that bigness to be there. It closes that bigness down with a worry and it clamps you into the mind. And so if I'm a powerful creator, which I am, then I'm going to attract that, which is the same vibration of what I'm worrying on. So when we're in the mind, it doesn't allow us the help and support that's naturally there. And instead, it keeps us getting what it is that our mind has us worried on. And it's the nature of the mind. You know, the contrast, the contrast seems more stark nowadays too, where you're either really in worry or you're really in fear or you're really in doubt or you're really open. And it seems like it's getting stronger. So you want to definitely land yourself on the side of love. Because the love is what you crave anyway. At the base of any fear, it's just that you're not going to have love. Or even the fear of being in a body, the feeling disconnected from our source is what some sources and colleagues of mine have said and do say in other sources of wisdom, ancient and modern, about the biggest fear of all humans besides the fear of death is really the separation from our source. The feeling of being separate from that unconditional love. So love is really what we're all craving. When we lash out at somebody, it's because there isn't love that's being felt there or perceived there. Instead, it's the pain that's being perceived there. So who or what can we each add to our lives today that will help us retrain our focus moment to moment more on the love and more on the expansive life-giving energies and less on the doubt, the worry, the life-taking, like life-depleting, life-force energy. You can feel it. You can feel the aliveness, and you can feel the deadening of your life force. So you can use that in increased mindfulness now as you go forward to be able to see what you're creating in that moment and use that as a gauge. Are you closing down around your head, or do you feel open and expanded? And then there's a lot of other elements that come in, like the trust in life overall, that it supports you and isn't against you. And then the trust in yourself to be able to know what to engage in and what to pull back from, the trust in your own guidance. And so there's lots of beliefs that I do clearings on the Tuesday night group call. You can go to my website if you want to find out about it, AllisonJK.com. The website's linked on this page here for the show. But the Tuesday night call really works on helping people become even more the massive creators that we are intended to be in these times right now. And the nuanced beliefs that will get you more to that and out of the fear-driven, doubtful mind. It's a subtle, slow process. I mean, I work with subtle energy. That's what I do. I spent 10 years in Asia studying how subtle energy works. I'm a Qigong teacher. I'm a yoga teacher. I'm a meditation teacher. I've been an energy medicine practitioner for 20-plus years. All of that started by a psych major. I was a psychology major in undergraduate school, my bachelor's program, and I realized it was a very incomplete understanding of human behavior and the human psyche and why humans do what they do. So I've been in search of the complete system ever since then. And so it led me to understanding subtle energy and how that moves. And the subtle energy is a whole other topic that we're not going to get into right now, but in understanding the natural progress from a person who is very mind-dominant and locked into this reality's paradigm, watching a lot of TV on their gadgets all the time, really open to more than what their mind is thinking or believing or considering. That's mental energy, and that's the old paradigm, and it's on its way out. And that's more the masculine, the yang, the active. The yin energy, the feminine, is the opening and the awakening to the subtle energies of that which is seemingly passive. It's not the tangible, observable, subtle energies that are manifested as something physical, like action or like cars or a product that we have created. That created form is the masculine. But in the process of working with the subtle energies and working with our mind and becoming more mindful and observing if we're feeling expanded and open to life or if we're feeling closed down and locked in our mind, that mindfulness is more tuning into the subtle energies and a more yin or a more feminine kind of aspect as far as energy flows go in life. So what I'm doing when I do work with the folks on the Tuesday night call is helping clear out the belief between those two degrees on the spectrum to get the consciousness that gets locked down in the subconscious from the subconscious beliefs that get wired in when we're developing from ages 0 to 8 and the unconsciousness that gets locked down when we're asking, okay, from ages 0 to 8, how do I do this on this planet Earth here? Well, if I get that good feeling from mom when I smile a lot and giggle a lot and am playful, then that must be how I get that good feeling, love. Oh, dad likes it when I'm a good little girl and I don't really say much and don't bother him. Oh, okay. So then there's two conclusions that then affect a person at the throat chakra, at the second chakra, which is all about how they feel and having the right to feel the way they feel, the third chakra, expression of inner child's joy and self-esteem, heart chakra, how open to allow oneself to be. And so they get wired in at an unconscious level. So I go in, my work, whether it's to choose and I call or one-on-ones or whatever, the capacity is the group healings that I do locally or even on the call, I'm going in, I've learned, and I think it's definitely naturally innately wired within me, this intuition of mine, hone in on what that locked down unconscious or subconscious belief is, clear it out one after another, continuing to take the sub and unconsciousness, bring it above the surface or make it conscious, because sub means under, un means not. So take that consciousness that's been locked down by a belief that is false and bring it up to the surface and transform it with light and the love light force, the chi, the prana, however you call that subtle life force energy, flushing it with that. And so it makes it you have more consciousness accessible. It makes you have more consciousness. And there's I can feel you realizing this, it leads to a host of outcomes. The unconsciousness, the subconsciousness now made conscious gives you more energy, gives you more consciousness. It gives you more vitality. It gives your emanation more life to it. It gives you a higher vibration. So there you have it. That's enough for right now. I believe that there's a caller. We could go ahead and take her. I think that I was told her name is Mary. Mary, you want to come on in?
Hi, it's Mary from Tampa, Florida.
Mary, hi. Have I met you before?
You have met me, and I will briefly just remind you, I'm sure you have met a lot of people, but you made an impact on me. I met you at Sweetwater's Farm. You were doing a Reiki day on a Sunday, and you actually did a clearing for my sister and I. You did clearings for us a few years ago at Sweetwater Farm.
I remember you and your sister, both of you. You have a beautiful union. Hi, thanks for calling in. I haven't heard
yes,
of you in a while.
Yes, yes, and you actually gave us a lot of really good things to think about, and I've been trying to get with you since then, but, you know, life shows up, so now I have the chance to talk to you, and I just wanted to connect with you because I'm just going through a tough time right now in the heart area. And, you know, a lot of loss and kind of ending a relationship or making the decision about it right now. And I fall into everything that was on your email about the codependent and the losing ourselves and someone else, all of that.
Yep.
So I it's perfect timing that I actually just looked at this email as I was walking in nature, as you recommend to do for the heart chakra.
Yeah, beautiful. So are you in nature right now, Mary?
No, and I actually just got home, but I do want to do your Tuesday nights. I think that would be really good. I'm kind of ready right now. You know, I kind of am in the process of letting go of someone, and I don't know if it's permanent, but it needs to be done for now, for today, and that's about all I can think about is today, you know?
Good. Okay, so first, what is being called to my awareness to address with you is that you have been shown, it's what I'm being shown right now, is you've been shown progressively, increasingly, signs your consciousness has had increasing awareness that you need to end this, and it just hasn't been ready, and now it is. And so any kind of ending is painful. And it's for a variety of reasons. One of the main reasons is that our ego mind is geared towards keeping us in the familiar. We're given these ego minds. Yeah, you know, and so it likes to hold on to what's familiar. And I don't need to because you're in a really heart space. I can feel it. There's other times that explain what the ego mind function is beyond what I just said. But let's leave it at that for right now. So if its preference is the familiar, then it's going to make any kind of separation or ending difficult. And Mary, I've had my own endings of separations, and I have one going on right now myself. And allowing ourselves the space to grieve is important. Allowing ourselves the rawness of what you just said, of the departure of that familiarity is healthy because it allows the heart to release. And you spoke about during the Tuesday night call, and on my last month's free call, I do one the last Thursday of every month, a woman spoke up talking about the channel from the fifth chakra at the throat down to the heart chakra. And that seems, especially in the last 2 weeks, to have been a real huge focus amongst my client base. This past Tuesday night's call, I did the biggest trauma clearing I've ever done in the history of all of my work on the fifth chakra, on the throat, on the neck, to open up that area, because people, for a variety of reasons, but also to open up the channel down to the throat, so it's down to the heart chakra. So when our hearts want to open, it goes up the throat, it seems like, because the heart has so much power and so much life force, you know. And so to allow grief is actually allowing the pressure to come off of the thoughts that you've had in the past month about, wow, this just isn't working, or wow, this needs to end, or wow, it's ending. And the suppression on the heart chakra, the heaviness of the grief that those thoughts have, allow that is done through the process of breathing and allowing yourself to feel the pain. Actually, the chakra is that I consider them to be the most complex. And part of what it does is it has a cork, like a wine bottle, a cork on a bottle, and our bodies or torsos are the entire bottle, and then the neck of where the cork bottles is our neck. And so our head has the crown chakra that connects the source and our higher self, and then the guidance that comes in intuitively at the sixth chakra. So if we're not listening to our guidance, we cork ourselves up energetically at the throat. Stiff neck, chronic throat cork, tight jaw are just examples of how that shows up physically observable. But when we open, is that what you've been experiencing?
Yes, yeah. I actually went for a massage, and the woman also did jinjitsu, you know, the Japanese clearing. Okay. And everything she touched on me went to my throat.
And yeah, it's a channel.
Yeah, it was the oddest thing.
Go ahead, Mary.
I'm sorry. No, and she could feel everything that was going on. And I had told her a little bit before, so she kind of knew what areas to zone in on. But the whole relation of the heart to the throat, I didn't know until I'm talking to you now, because when I left her, it was much less. I felt like it was a real release with her, and it actually brought me to tears, the massage. It was It was just, yeah, and I think this has kind of been dying a slow death, and I'm a real giving, loving person. It's just this person isn't the same as me, you know, and I think that's, it hasn't taken away from me, but I feel like it's not complimenting me.
That's a real strong and important distinction to make right now. And congratulations, Mary. I'm saying wholeheartedly on being that in tune with yourself, really, because one of the finest distinctions we can make right now is if something is contributing and adding to our life force, expanding and growing, or if it's taking, sucking, suppressing, closing down. And just by
this is subtracting.
Yep. And just by sensing that, we can make our choices. Like I was saying in the beginning of this radio show today, you know, if it expands us, opens us, gives us more room around our head, helps us feel more comfortable and spacious in our body, then it's a yes, whatever that thing is. If it makes us contracted, closed down, feeling pressured, limited, that is an example. Those are some of the ways to describe that's a no. Our system is giving us the subtle energy clues, and as we become increasingly, as you just showed you are, more mindful of the way our subtle energy is in our system, then we make our choices from our energy, not from our mind, but the ego learning to... Yeah. So well, let me just check in. Let me see where it's most helpful to go now with you. So let's do some clearings on... Your heart chakra has already been being cleared by connecting with my system's already been clearing it. And it doesn't feel right now at the throat. It feels very much at the heart chakra. It's opening. It's been opening since we've been talking. And there's a sense I'm getting right now that it's you. And it always comes down to us. Right? It's about us, even though it seems like it's about another person. And that's an obnoxious thing to hear. I know. I know.
I understand.
But it is sometimes because it's like, no, it really is about how he treated me and what he did and didn't do. But what it really is it's you claiming more for yourself. And there's your heart opening because it's expanding because it's your spirit. As I was saying in the beginning of the show, is there lodged in the heart chakra, all of ours is, and yours is asking for more from your life, and it wants more from your life, and it's not able to have that bigness, that increase with this person. And so you're talking about and facing and hearing what I'm saying, it's helping shift some of the constraint or the closed downness, and it's opening more. So, My vibration, as you know, is just from the one time that you had a session with me with my hands on you. It naturally opens you, and that's what's been happening. Your heart chakra's naturally been responding to spiritual vibrations that I am and I carry around me. And so a continued opening now, no matter what. I've been doing a clearing lately, and I think people who know me really well will be surprised that I'm doing this clearing because it doesn't seem like I stopped myself in any way. I just let myself go for whatever I'm going for. Yeah, but I've even been asking lately, anywhere and everywhere where secret places where I'm stopping myself, I destroy and uncreate. So it's more subtle. I apologize again for the background noise. It's more subtle. The more advanced you get, the changes that you make become more and more subtle. So it's not like you jump from a plane necessarily, and while that symbolizes freedom. But it's you right now at a more subtle level with your heart and or spirit asking for more from your life and for you. And so this opening now is something that you want to follow no matter what. So anywhere and everywhere where you have continued to believe that you need to limit yourself and you can only have what you've seen your friends and family have and then a little bit more beyond that, are you willing to destroy and uncreate all of that, Mary?
Yes.
take it. I'm going to use the access consciousness clearing statement, times a godzillion, right, wrong, good, bad, pop, pot, all nine, shorts, boys, and girls. That was a really good claiming for a yes. So the weird words I just used that didn't make any sense are what has been described as a metaphysical vacuum, that it vacuums up anywhere where we first started with this belief that you can only have so much, anywhere where you first started destroying yourself with this belief that you can only have what you see your friends and family have, and then a little bit more because you do go more around you, just a little bit more, not much more. So what I'm talking about is you opening to a lot more, and that's what you're doing by not settling for what this has been. Yep. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. Yeah. I'm really excited for you. And please do join the Tuesday Night Call. I'd love the opportunity to help continue to help you open and allow
you. Thank you so much. And I saw a hawk on my way home as I was just coming home now, and you had explained all about the hawk therapy and that. And when you did our clearings back at the farm, you saw the red-tailed hawk circle when you were working on my sister and then when you were working on me.
I remember, and I just saw one today about an hour before getting on the call. Very, very noticeable.
Oh, my gosh, I just got the chills. And that symbolized my brother that we had just lost. And I had told you that story, and you said that was so strange because it was here when I was working on your sister. So I believe it all.
Yeah, it's sacred. And that's what, if you wanted to, Mary, you could go back and listen to the beginning of this, because that's what I was talking about. So it seems like very much the show. I didn't come on with an idea of what to talk about. I came on listening and filling out what was needed, what would be a contribution. And it feels like a lot of it was for you, because that's what I was explaining. The more that we open up our high chakra, the more the spirit sits there, the more that we can interact with and call all of the subtle energies around us in the universe to support us. And so the more synchronicities we experience, like the symbol, the symbolism and the sacredness that comes in through animal medicine. I mean, how many cultures have animal medicine? They understand and they've been interpreted and given meanings to different animals. So we're not the first, you know. I mean, when we open, and we can really... This universe wants us to be happy and wants us to have love in and around us and move from that. And so the signs are there, and we can have the signs come in more and more, the more awakened we are. And you're doing it. And I'm in such hell. Thank you for that gift. That was a gift for me too, that you saw Red Tail Talk probably about the same time I did.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you taking the time for me. I honestly, you're a blessing.
Thank you, Mary. I needed to hear that. You're welcome.
Okay.
Have a beautiful Valentine's Day. Going for more love. That's what it's about.
Yeah. Thank you.
My honor. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Those are not the style of clearings I do on the Tuesday night call, by the way. I do an hour full. You come on the call. I don't talk with you. I just go into your field and start doing clearings. And the group creates a certain synergy that is even more powerful in different ways. I don't quite know how to explain what happens in a group, but the people who show up seem to have in common what it is they're desiring more of for themselves. You'll notice I did not say what issues they want help with. And so it is that much more important. Empowering, because you know, where two people gather, that is that much more power exponentially. And we're working with these vibrations, which it's nowadays understood that, like, if one of us is at a really high vibration, it affects 100,000. Whereas about 10 years ago, it was if one of us is at a really high vibration, it affects 10,000. So because of the spiritual awakening backdrop that we're living within now, the frequencies and energies of the way the planets have been aligned. I mean, you can go on NASA.com and you can look in the last 5 years at the different alignments that have happened in the stars. There's been so many planetary configurations that haven't happened for hundreds and hundreds of years. And when they have, really sacred events in history have happened. We're in a really precious time right now on the planet. So it's a really usually advanced group who shows up on Tuesday nights. You can go to my website, www.alisonwithonelkay.com. Go under services, and then you see group calls or group sessions, and then it's there. So that's what she was talking about, and that's what I invite you all to. It's a really great gateway to my work. Also, you could go
to, if you wanted to the chakra attunement audio series. And if you really want to focus on the heart chakra opening more, you could. I have individual downloads of each of the chakras where they're about 15 minutes of instruction about the different mental, physical, emotional things, I want to say issues, that show up when it's closed down, and then what it looks like and what power we have when those chakras are open. And then there's about 45 minutes for each chakra of clearings, of theta healing clearings, and then downloads to activate the aspects that keep those chakras open. So you can get each of them individually, or for a discounted price, you can get the whole series. And that chakra attunement audio series is in the product for the shop, and it's life-changing. I've sold that to folks at live expos and then followed up with them afterwards in their lives. It's just every single person who's ever seen that series has had their life changed. It's a really great series. That's another good way to start with this work. If you want to just put your big toe in, you can also do the second chakra, because that one is, I used to go to sleep for many, many years with one hand on my heart chakra and one hand on my second chakra. And the second chakra is about your right to feel the way you feel. And as you'll hear, even from listening to Mary talk, there's an element of the self-questioning or the self-doubt that happens when we're not settling anymore, and when we're going for more, and when we're saying this isn't enough. And the ability for us to feel like we have the right to feel the way we feel, instead of the questioning, or to do more of feeling like we have the right to have these feelings and then make choices and take actions based on those, is healthier when the second chakra is open versus when we will have more self-questioning and self-doubt about, well, I shouldn't really feel that way because it's really this good and this is good, and I really shouldn't think this or feel this because this is good and this is good. That kind of back and forth. The more the second chakra is open, the less of that we'll do, and the more of just the honoring, the direct connect to our feeling life, the more wisdom we gain from our feelings more easily, the more our second chakra is open. And then that corresponds to the heart chakra, because then it helps in ways that I don't even honestly know how to articulate. But the correspondence of the love vibration that sits at the heart chakra with our feeling life, it seems like our emotions and feelings are, if we look at the right side of them, or I don't mean to say right, but if we use them, let's say it this way, if we use them for the wisdom that they're there, they're communicating something about our inner life that our spirit or our soul is perceiving, as opposed to the mind that has the thinking life. So in the form of emotions, or more like a feeling, energy from our soul or spirit can speak in a more encoded way. I don't know, unless it's intuitive, that the thinking mind does that. I do know it does not, unless it's an intuition with it into our inner life. Other than that, an intuition in our inner life shows up with being in touch with our feelings. So the more in touch with our feelings, the more open our second chakra is, and the more open our fourth chakra can be, because our heart is, there's self-care. That was the word was self, sorry again for the background noise, self-care or self-nurturing. That sits at the fourth chakra, the heart chakra. So the more we're nurturing ourselves and caring for ourselves, the more open the heart chakra is. The more receptive we are to life and open, the more open the heart chakra is. So you can see the correspondence between if we shut down our feelings, or we shut down listening to them, or shut down valuing them. I'm not saying emotional reactivity at all here. I'm not saying emotionally indulgent at all here. What I am saying is just you get an energy, and then it shows up as, oh, so that's what I'm feeling. And you make a choice based on that awareness. If it's not able to be received and perceived at the subtle energy level, which would be more intuitive guidance of the sixth chakra. So the real rawness comes out of the second chakra down there in the lower belly of the back. Or the Dantian, as we refer to it, in Qigong. It's getting quite noisy here, and it's close to time for the show to wrap up. So I'm going to choose to send you all off with much love and much light and a happy Valentine's Day in celebration of that love vibration to you all. Many blessings. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
for joining us and allowing yourself this time to expand and become more of who you're here to be. Dr. K has a range of different offerings of her vibrational upgrades at all price points, including free. So for more information, please go to www.alisonjk.com. Dr. K's first book, What If There's Nothing Wrong, is available on Amazon.com. Dr. K also has a weekly clearing and activation call that is attended by her most advanced clients and students, an important activity in keeping themselves aligned and their vibration high. We'd love to have you come and play. Om Shanti.